Radio.
Party on, party people, let me hear some noise. EP's in the house, jump, jump, rejoice. There's a party over here, a party over there. Wave your hands in the air, take a dare, yeah. These three words, can you get in busy? Whoop, there it is, hey, man. All about now it's time for us to get on the mic and make this party hot. I'm taking it back to the old school because I'm an old fool who's so cool. If you want to get down, I'm gonna show you the way. Boom. Yeah, it is. Let me hear you say. Rock the mic, uh-oh, I crave skin, rip, find a honey, just to dip it in, slam dunk it, stick it, flip it and ride that D-double-A-T-Y, oh my, ooh, that's it, come on, whoop, there it is, I'm done. Sound that you have found amazing, outstanding, demanding, commanding you people dancing. That's the press taker, I produce aka the undertaker. You wanna come down to the underground old school? Here's a shovel, can you dig it, fool?
Can you dig it?
As I flow to the fight from the school of gold, I'm going to the folklore wreck. Three to the two, where one might check, mask, kill, blow, kill on the man.
On that phone right now, but I can get back, which I have you live. I already got you. We're going to make this thing happen tonight now with the co-hosts and all of them that's joining us tonight. All right, the call-in number is 347-857-4192. And if you want to be a part of the show where you got some things you want to offer about sports tonight, just press 1 and I'll make sure I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or your telephone number. So this is going to be awesome tonight. Now, the web link is www.blogtalkradio.com/thesmithwaveproduction. Now, if you want to tweet the show, you can go to @TalkingSportsPlus with the number 1, @LorenzaDSmith, @DarylJ, sorry, at Elliot Darrell with the number one, at Tremaine Edwards with the number one, sorry, number seven, and at Coach with the K underscore L underscore Smith. So I tell you, man, we're ready to hear from you, so we want you to be a part of the co-host that joins me from time to time, and I'll make sure I introduce the one that's on the line at this point, but our normal crew that join us, and I'm looking forward to having each and every one of them on here tonight. We have Hales from South Alabama. I travel a lot of time up to Montgomery, and from Montgomery over to Troy. They're from Troy, Dothan. He's our radio personality. So glad to have him as a part of the show, none other than the Don King of all things. We got Darrell E. Train Elliott. He'll call in. He'll share his thoughts with us as well. We also hails from Central Alabama. We have two millennials. One of them is the lady of the hour. So proud to have her. It's important because she's my daughter, none other than Coach Lauren D. Smith. And she'll be hitting us up, as she told me earlier, she'll be hitting us up as well. And then we also have a young man from Central Alabama, a millennial. We have Coach Cameron Gilmer. And then we have a young man that hails from North Alabama, originally from Central, which is the Montgomery area. He's now working up in the Huntsville area. The Madison County, a man that we call the King. He held with six city championships for his girls in basketball, five for his boys, which is middle school basketball, and two in football, none other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. And last but never least, this young man is awesome. He's our high school resident expert. And he's out grinding all the time, you know, trying to make things happen. At least recently retired in 2018. I want to tell him he got 2 years under his belt now. That guy knows he's making things happen now. None other than my frat brother, member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity. That's Coach Tony Stallworth. How you doing, Coach Stallworth?
Glad to be here, my brother. Glad to be here. Would not miss it for nothing in the world. I may have some extenuating circumstances, but I charge it back to being, this is the moment tonight. This is the moment.
Awesome, awesome, man. I tell you, I appreciate you joining us tonight, and the other group team members will join us in a minute. Now, we want you to be a part of this, and make sure you give us a call. I either just go to the web link or Facebook, and you also have an opportunity to keep in mind to check this thing out on Periscope as well. And I'll tell you how you can make contact by Facebook if you're on Blog Talk Radio or on Twitter. Now, again, the call-in number to be a part of it on Facebook is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I identify you with the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number and ask you to give you a location. Then you can join us with a chat and share your expertise and your professional thoughts you have. On Facebook, if you want to be a part of it on Facebook, go to Facebook.com, Diara L. D'Alberto Smith. And on Twitter, you have Lorenza D. Smith. So, man, we have ways to get this word out tonight, and we want you to be a part of it. We know a lot of things are going on, especially with COVID-19. It is dictating. And our topic tonight is going to always talk about how COVID-19 is in a challenge with us. This is for survival. And then we have other things that are happening as well, social unrest. So we're going to focus on that tonight as well. But our title for our show was Football is Struggling. COVID-19 is still winning because it's winning at all phases. But our hashtag for our Monday night show talking with you is hashtag One Life Matter. And we have to keep that in mind because every life matters, even dealing with social unrest. Every one life matters, but besides that, black lives matter. And we have to make sure we focus on that, hold people accountable, and tonight we want to talk about that because if you're watching national news, things are happening. So, Coach Stallworth, we want to really get started off really talking about the social unrest and what has happened in the form of a protest today dealing with our NBA. I just want to get your thoughts, and I'll jump in as well, and we're going to talk about what has happened in regards to starting yesterday, really, with the Detroit Lions NFL decided they boycotted practice and they came out in unison to make sure we show that we got to stop this. Black lives, we got to stop executing young black males as well as females. And we got to start holding people accountable. And that's one of the things about it. We can't let people slide when they do this. We have to grind it out. We have to prosecute them to the maximum. Don't decide and wait later on to arrest them. Let's jump on, because these white police officers, it's just assassinating the black male and the female. Coach Starwood, if you want to share your thoughts about that, as well as the focus by the NBA, the NFL, and even the NHL, Major League Baseball, we have the soccer league. Everybody's showing and supporting the Black Lives Matter. I'm not going to say a movement, because the movement ends. This is something we're going to continue to work. If we're going to march, we're going to continue to march, not out of pain, but we're going to march for change. Coach Stallworth, if you want to share some thoughts on that.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. One thing I want to make plain and clear about Talking Sports Plus is we are trying to have an integrated conversation on your thoughts and respect your opinions. We want to keep things in content, because of the only way to solve anything is to come up with some means of solution. And I think that what we need to be mindful of is movements are things that keep moving. We got to find something that moves and comes to a certain halt at some, as my grandma said, come to a stop. Like, whoa, mule. You hit that mule again and keep rolling. But here's where I'm going with this. I'm always in the godly manner of not being involved in politics to a great extent, because I don't have a whole lot of knowledge about it. But I do know that in due season, and when times gets to be where we don't understand, we have to allow ourselves to sit back and look at where we are and where we came from. I think intelligently, we need to be mindful of these young police officers that are put in place need to be held accountable, but let's back up. They are enforcers. Do we know what the word enforce means? Enforce means to act upon. And what's happening is there are young trainees that are put in place, and our problem is not primarily with them. It is, because they need to be held accountable when they're doing wrong. But our problem is our universal leadership. When we hear our leader, I don't call names, of our nation saying things that's not in regards to holding a system of accountability and to protect it with using some type of defense mechanism when it comes to, and we don't need to be talking about race versus race. We need to talk about right versus wrong. I'm not into that. I don't want to ever be into that. But officers that are put in place that are trained, they are trained in today's society under today's leadership. And they're going to act because they know that acting upon that is what generates their jobs. And who's the benefactor? Nobody. Who's the loss? We are, when it happens to our race and our people. I think where we are now is, and I don't profess to be a Christian, but I do believe that God intervenes in a timely manner when there's a necessitation. And I notice that everything that's happening in our world now, in the world of entertainment, NBA basketball, Major League Baseball, etc., has come to a halt because of this. Let's notice, in Milwaukee is where it happens, and the first one to generate the whole mute halt situation, I'm using that again, meaning stop, let's check this out, was Milwaukee, because that's where the incident occurred. And I like the fact that it was done in a professional, orderly manner by not coming out the dress room, because this is bigger than a game. This is business. And then I like the fact that even Stephen A. Smith came on and he said some things that we need to be intelligently informed to listen before we act. And he said this. He said, this is the biggest platform. It is engaged with people like Chris Paul, which is head of the player, or spoken for the players organization, Doc Rivers. That, notice Doc Rivers in his emotional state that we went back to relate how his house got burned down. under these conditions. I'm going to tell y'all something now. You can put water on a fire, and all it's going to do is smoke. And if it's not put out, eventually it's going to flame back. So Doc is here now, and Doc is ready to tell his story. LeBron James, never seen LeBron James get out of character and content because he's professional. To play a game the way he played last night and to come back and say the things he said, it's time. And what we have to realize in this movement is this is the biggest platform where it's going to cost people several amounts of money. And when that happens, degree of sensibility comes in. Because I don't care where you get it from, you're going to respect who's giving it to you. And I think we are in a moment now where we can use protest is fine, but everybody that protests don't have the same agenda. And that's why I refrain from it. I believe in intelligent social unrest with a degree of facts in order to find out solutions. And I think that's where we are now, Dr. Smith, and I'm glad this platform is available for everybody, and I hope I set the stage for everybody to be intelligent with their thought process so we can put something out there for the listeners to understand that now is the time. God has set the platform. We have to utilize this to go forward. Our leadership as we living in society now is not the benefactor, it's the distractor. The next thing is, even with LeBron James' degree of voting, we have to get out, and thanks so much for Darryl, because he utilized this too, and sometimes he get over the top. I understand that, because that's what happens when you are fighting for something that's unjust for you. But we're going to try to keep this intelligent and understand that we have some rights that we need to go back in. One thing was said today by Doc Rivers, just recognize our constitutional rights. Thank you, Dr. Smith, for allowing me to say that. I appreciate it.
Awesome, Brother Solwell. I'm going to tell you, we never want to get political on this get into politics. This is our sports show, and it's a voice of historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletic in the southeastern part of the United States. However, with what's going on in this country is happening too many times. And apparently every time we do have a movement, we think in Black Lives Matter, the movement, so-called, whereas they want to put a movement on it because they know a movement always stops. But in 2012, that's when it really came. Three young ladies decided to kind of work this out so we can get the voices and get the place and get the situation where we can talk about what's going on. And we were dealing with the laws of black men and black women lawyers even at that time, even before that time. What we're asking, and we know that we get very enraged when it happens, but you know what? We ought to get enraged. But we ought to get enraged when we take another person's life as a person of color. We ought to be enraged at all times. But however, since we were at that point where things like the establishment is not responding in the manner to give us the right support, we're going to have to take the issue and attack the issue. The issue is that unarmed black males are being and women are being killed for no reason. Like I said, we're not going to get into this thing as a political thing, but I just want to make sure you keep in mind we're talking about the NBA, all of the professional athletes who have a lot to lose. You got to understand the owners have a lot to lose. If they're not playing this game tonight, just imagine how much money that's being lost tonight by the three games they're not playing because they decided not to show up on the floor. Think about it. At this time, these athletes, we said, sitting up in the ivory tower, have made a decision that we won't change, and we're going to show it by not helping the establishment continue to grow, and we forget about our brothers and sisters that are out in the community, even though we're doing it to each other, but white police officers are still doing it, even after George Floyd, even after Asbury, even after Breonna Taylor, and I can call on and on and on. Somewhere you got to see there's a problem, and you have to take it upon yourself, and even if you're not an African American, a person of color, to decide that you can't do that. And anything you want to say that in regards to people just coming at you saying that, well, the person didn't do this right. You know, when you have a gun on, and even as a militant person, you got to remember that police officer, as Coach Stalwart said, are enforcers. They're to enforce the law. They need to make sure, because they're the one way to keep you where you don't have to get out to enforce the law yourself. You have those individuals who have training, who have used it. But if you wake up this morning to determine that you're going to do something which you know may be have your mind premeditated on doing something that was not right, and you have to kind of think there's going to be some consequences. My biggest thing is that with all the discussion we're having and even the protest, we have to now demand the consequences be enforced. It is no question. It's no fussing. If you take that individual life, I don't care who it is, there are going to have to be consequences. And we're going to have to hold those individuals in the court system. We got to hold those individuals that's in the justice system accountable. We got to hold those individuals all the way up to the Supreme Court, that we make sure we protect these individual people of color lives and just don't allow them to know that if you wake up on this side of the bed angry this morning, you're out to shoot and kill somebody and you think you're going to get away with it. It's time to stop with that. And we have to make sure this happens. Yes, whether we go to the polls and vote or not, Coach Stalwart, I was looking at some stats, and like I said, we don't want to get into the political side of it. You know, it's only like 60% in 2016 voted of people, 60%. That's another 40% don't think they even had to go to the polls. Now, we're asking everybody to go to the polls, and I'm not dictating. Coach Stalwart, as well as this show, is not telling you who to vote. But you got to make your choice that hopefully we'll have change. We got to have where we have people pressing other people, whether it's senators, legislators, congressmen. We got to hold everybody accountable to get these things put in place, laws to make sure we protect every citizen of the United States. Yes, we have constitutional. We have constitutional rights. We have liberties, civil liberty. But when those are being taken away to the point of a certain race of individuals, we have to make change. We have to march for change. So we applaud LeBron. We applaud all of those individuals stepping out and saying, we got to see change. Get out and vote. Make sure you do that. Now, Brother Stalwart, I'm going to kind of take one step away from it and make sure give some people some shout out in regard to us on the Facebook. Actually, I see him on here. I want to give him a shout. We have Rachel Robinson, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated, Denise Stephanie, behind the ministry, behind the mass ministry out of Berkeley, California. We have Latay Pickett. Her ministry is Inspire to Inspire. Thank you so much. Member Paul Wright. Thank you, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. Then we have, I hope I'm saying that right, I believe, so if not, correct me, member. Then we have my nephew, Reginald Ruth, thank you so much. Another one, our fraternity brother, DeMarcus Weeds, thank you. He's now the chief of police down in Morris. And he just was assigned that recently. Congratulations on that part, Brother Weeds, thank you so much. I will have my nephew said he has a question. He has a right to ask his question. But why, when white men kill black men, we go and rage, and he stops right there. But when black men kill another black man, we stay quiet. Now, he's a valid point. He got a reason to ask that point. And I say, why do? Why we are quiet? We need to be enraged at all times to make sure we save a life. One life matter. Hashtag, get your shirt. Just say one life matter. Matter. One life matter. So we have now also joining us Brother Keith Sims, a member of Phi Beta Sigma fraternity as well. Those individuals joining us. Coach Stalwart, let's kind of move down our agenda and just look at a couple of things. One of the things, I want your thoughts on this, and it's discuss why North Dakota State, who's an FCS school, we know they've been at the top of this, the upshalon, of FCS winning championships for our last 5 years. They're not only playing but one game this year.
Mm-hmm.
One game. and that game is going to be against Central Arkansas. What is, you know, we know the reason why, but do we really think that is something that's good or bad or indifferent? What do you think about them only being able to schedule one game? And some people seem to think it's all about showcasing that quarterback so they can up his stock in the draft. What's your thought about that? What's your thoughts about
that? Well, Dr. Smith and our listeners, a lot of times when we get in these type of crisis, we have to be mindful of what's the upside and what's the downside. When you get into a situation, first of all, you've got to understand revenue. Revenue is one of the things that keep, and the biggest revenue in any sports, whether it's the major, whether it's high school or college, comes from the sport of football because it can entertain more, the venue can entertain more spectators. So when you get to a loss, sometimes you got to try to find a way to make a game. The student athlete in question, you notice, Dr. Smith, I don't like calling names. I like to keep things on a pedestal here. It's looking for a way to, in his loss, because of the conference he comes from, to gain some notoriety and recognition. By the same token, the university that we are speaking about don't want to lose twice by being able to sponsor that recognition because they want to keep the recruiting avenues open to say, you know what, even in times like the pandemic, that school did give somebody an opportunity. So I hate to be in an equilibrium when it comes to a situation like that, but I like to have I like to use a sense of understanding that I understand why both sides are coming together because both sides have an opportunity to survive. Now the question derived now is, what about the rest of the student athletes? Well, they are. Well, sometimes you get caught in these type movements, and you have to deal with the downside. But the university, is trying to keep their head above water because if this virus, if everything comes to some type of resolution in the month of November, you got to recruit, and you still got to have a brand. That's the word I want to put out there. So somebody can say, you know what, even when everything was bad as it was, they gave that young man an opportunity. And if that young man goes on from that opportunity out of that one game, because what most scouts want to do is see what he do in live action and be successful, they don't lose entirely, Dr. Smith. That's my take on that.
Exactly, and I agree. Yes, give him an opportunity just because the FCS decided, which is, for everybody, a lot of people don't kind of understand this, and I was talking to a friend of mine today in regards to the FBS, which is where our Power Five and our Group of Five make up the Football Bowl subdivision. That's the highest level, Division One. And that Division One level, a lot of money crossed through, especially your Power Five. And I wanted to make sure I talk about it, I shared it with them. I want to make sure a lot of people don't understand what's going on with this situation and how COVID-19, the pandemic, has really created a stress on a lot of universities, even your Power Five. And the Power Five consists of those conferences, which is the Atlantic Coast Conference, the Southeastern Conference, the Pacific Coast Conference, Pac-12 they call it, or the Big Ten, which is at, up in the Midwest, and the Big 12, which is down in the Southwest. What they experienced from COVID-19 is that you're dealing with a lot of revenue. And some people say it's not all about money. It is all about money. Because it's not only that not only operates just football, it helps with every other sport to provide
Smith,
them
something.
Yes,
Dr.
jump
Dr.
on in right there.
Because you said a very good point. In society today, we have to deal with those things that we can control as opposed to those things we cannot control. If this university in question allows this young man to come in, two things can happen. If he's successful again, it still promotes their recruitment going forward. What if in November everything gets back on solid play and somebody going to look back and say, you know what, And if this young student athlete in question, I don't use name, goes on and be successful, and if somebody says, well, what about the showcase? The showcase is the originality of a game. And one game can be, now some people say, what if you get hurt? You can get hurt in showcase. You get hurt and don't be in the showcase. You get hurt in the street. But the bottom line is the opportunity that he has under these conditions makes him or breaks him. But the university got to look at one thing. One game, a player like this, when things go forward, we may have done something to help somebody and keep our recruitment alive. It's a hit and miss. It's a gamble. But I'm going to tell you something. Revenue of these major universities and anyway, even one game, could they find a way to – let me tell you something. If you got a $275,000 budget on the table going forward, you reduce the number of games that you have. It also reduces the mobility of your money going out, right?
Hey,
and
right,
if you can do
right,
anything
right.
to enhance and keep everything where it is, look what you got going forward. It's a hit and miss. You have to be a visionary in this. You have to be prepared for this. And that's what I like about our previous leader, being that of Barack Obama, who's a visionary. He saw things before things got here. And I have nothing against our present leadership other than what has reflected him. And the thought process that's put in as opposed to the things that are happening under your leadership, you have to be a reactionary. And if you're not, you're a failure. I don't care who it is. I just want to interject that.
Awesome, awesome. And that's one of the things we have, more or less, instead of being that reactionary, some people just don't care. And I'm going to leave it right there on some forms of leadership. But you have to be proactive enough to be able to have a vision to see way beyond what's in front of you today. But with each one of those conferences, and each that makes up the Power Five, and then you have your Group of Five, or those, their money comes basically from television. And television helps them to do a lot of things. And I was carrying this conversation on earlier, and I was talking about the FCS. A lot of people, just like North Dakota State, why they were waiting to the spring. We were talking about finance. When you're in the Division One, Power Five, or the Group of Five, Power Five, when they have their spring meeting, you're talking about dibbling out over 40-some million dollars per school, which is 14 schools. You can put that in place. That's not counting what you have made from your ticket sales, from your boosters. Well, no, I don't say boosters. I ain't going to say that. From those people who have bought tickets, who season ticket holders, and so on. They're able to do this, and if they can see their way around it. That's what the biggest challenge and the big talking has been about. It's been basically in relationship to many of those individual schools that are still in existence, like in the Southeastern Conference, in the ACC, as well as the Big 12, whereas the Pac-10 and the the Pac-12 and the Big 10 have decided to no longer do it because they've seen something else. It's all about being proactive. Those conferences saw that the winter months in the season of November and the flu time is not good with a pandemic for their athletes and for their school. Whereas in the subtropical area, which is what we call the Southeast, always going, even though the Atlantic coast is part of it, going up there so far as Rutgers and so on, people got to realize, it's a little different. And then we look at numbers. We look at how the numbers are. So that's some of the reason why those schools are like North Dakota State cannot continue to play at that level because they don't have the money. I was also sharing this for something people don't realize. There's testing required for those schools that are still in existence, the ACC, the SEC, as well as the Big 12, on those athletes. And that
right.
testing is still per test is $67 per test.
That's
and if
exactly
you have
right.
over
and
150.
Back, if
yes.
If
yes.
you go back, Dr.
You got 150 something. Yes. Yes. Go back, Coach.
I'm going to give you a comparison because I know that I can always relate high school versus universities. That is the very reason why in a low socioeconomic environment, school culture like the West Alabama's where you have the Black Belt schools, that's the reason why it was a no-brainer for them to say, heck, the heck with football or this sports because we don't make anything out of it. And why should we jeopardize exploring our student population, whether it be academics, which is first anyway, to something that's going to cost us more than it were. And I said that to relate that to the SWAC. Look how quick the SWAC made a decision. It was a no-brainer. We as in the SWAC don't get TV revenue that's going to expound us to a high degree. We get a few classics here and there. When we get through splitting what we're getting, it just keeps us ahead above water. So it's sometimes, if you look at the positives of the pandemic, sometimes it gives everybody a chance to regroup, regain a thought process, put things in place, be proactive for these type times. You know, sometimes you can't prepare for the hurricane unless you know the hurricane's coming.
Yep.
Barack Obama told us this was coming. And we did prepare.
Exactly.
And so sometimes we get caught up in that.
Exactly. And that's what we have to keep in mind. And it's all about revenue. It's all about money. And yes, money to operate. Football is the most expensive program of athletics. To operate a football program is very expensive. And if you don't have the finance like the FCS schools, then you have to kind of back off and look at some other avenues. Because you don't have the donors and you don't have the season ticket holders. Your stadium is not at the size of a 100,000 seat stadium. So you can put those individuals in. You got people guaranteed. You don't have that on the FCS level. So the decision was made with, for example, your historical Black College and University Conference was a great decision. Because financially they cannot perform. Even Brother Stowers brought up about the schools that are in West Alabama, and I'm going to use Alabama because there are several schools that said that we're not playing football. About four or five counties, and there's probably about 15 or 20 schools said they wasn't playing football because they saw the economic part of it would be more taxing on them if they continue to play that sport when they was not really getting anything out of it. Now, it's truly true. We got to help. I mean, we have to understand in our society, and especially in athletics, some schools perform so much greater in the sport of football, and some of them perform so much greater in the sport of basketball. And some people say, well, what's the difference? The big difference is that if you don't play this fall, you got an opportunity when you really get into your area. And Aaron are playing in basketball on a high school level, it won't be to January. You have had about 3 or 4 months to kind of get everything in the right perspective to see which way this thing goes. Because some people are going to be playing football, and you'll see how the spread occurs and how people are infected. So that's one of the things we do. That's the same thing on the FCS and compare it to the Power Five when you look at those Division One schools and compare it to the Division One AA, which is the FCS. Same way in the high school, you have your larger high school or you have some high school that focus more on football compared to where a lot of the focus is on basketball at some schools, and some of those schools made a decision they're not playing any football because they was looking out at financially besides the health of their young people. One life matter. We have to keep that in mind. So that's some thought about North Dakota State. They're showcasing that player, but they're also making sure that they keep themselves relevant and make sure the brand is still there. So in the spring, those schools are FCS. A lot of them will be playing in the spring. They have schedules, and we're going to talk about the schedule in regards to especially the SWAC. They have a preseason schedule out there. Okay. Coach Starr, we're going to kind of move to looking at the high number of positive COVID-19 cases that's happening at those schools that are planning on playing football, which is the SEC, ACC, and the Big 12. They're experiencing
among that student body. Some people would say high numbers are positive tests. However, I'm going to just throw this out there. When you have 29,000 students on campus or enrolled in fall, and you only have about 600 that may be in tests, look at your percentage there.
Yeah.
And you can work on with your contact tracing, with your health boards, and to kind of put it in place. And again, I still say November flu season is a bigger challenge when you get in the Midwest and up in the northern part of the Pacific, you know, compared to down here in the Southwest. Coach Worth, you still there?
I am.
I heard him talk. Okay. We were just talking about those schools like Alabama, I'm going to call the names, Auburn. They've been testing and had some large numbers, increased number in their positive on campus of COVID-19, and they're still moving forward and not letting that hold them back. As of this point, I want to just find out what your thoughts on that.
Well, I think you're looking at total enrollment versus small enrollment, whereas you're looking at feasibility of how universities can maintain testing affordable and what's not affordable. When you look at those numbers, be very mindful that they're controllable numbers. Look at the number of athletes that they have. Okay, you just said something there that I can really, really deal with. You got probably what you don't have in your data is, or what you do have in your, what the university do have is, for every student athlete that's recruited at University of Alabama or Auburn, I'm just using them as a content, you still got student athletes that's in that program that are redshirt or student that may have been injured that are still high-profile athletes. So to lose a few may sound like, lose some numbers may sound like, but you don't get the real data because they have excess when it comes to student athletes, and they're above the ladder. That's why the smaller universities just go close down because they have no way to rebound with what they have if it becomes a loss, and they got to protect their best interest. So those the large groups really are not really hurt as much as the data says. You see what I'm saying now? Because
yeah.
When you do percentage versus the overall numbers, you got to look in there and see who are the particularities that is really affected. Are you affecting all of the and all those numbers at both those universities, especially North Alabama, are five-star athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them sometimes get forget about because when they get signed, we don't see them and forget their red shirt or forget their injured, and the university keeps going on. You move along with the ones that you see. So it's not that detrimental, Dr. Smith. It's an attention getter. And sometimes, now I'm going to say this, I hate to be so, use so much commonalities in when I talk, but sometimes that's a way to balance the equation.
Exactly.
You know, sometimes when you've been so far ahead with what you're doing, because I looked at today when I was looking at LSU.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I see where LSU, just won the national championship. Now we're looking at somebody coming out and spilling the bean about player payment.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? The bar. Look where the bar is set.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes common ground comes in to intervene, to put you back down to perspective. And even at that, it's still going to be far ahead. So no offense to the large universities, because they got to be large because they were doing so many things right when it comes to the institution as a whole. But sometimes things have to be slowed down data-wise to let everybody know, regardless of the universal status you got, we all going to suffer this COVID-19 one way or the other.
Exactly.
That's just the way I see it. I try to simplify enough to say that it's everybody's problem. And for whatever suffering the small schools do, it's still going to affect the large ones too, because what they have done is the bar that they have set. And if they start missing that, it reflects them. Because I'm going to tell you something. If a rich man got money, it don't matter how much you take from him, he's looking for his money to expand. If a poor man ain't
exactly.
got nothing, you can't take that.
Exactly.
So
and that's where it works.
Like that, yeah, if you look at it like that, numbers don't always affect everybody the same way. It's according to the numbers, according to how far you are when this certain situation or any situation becomes reflected to you.
Exactly. And see, that's what we have to keep in mind. But the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Just call so you can chat at this time with Coach Tony Stallworth and myself as we're talking about these certain issues dealing with football struggling. COVID-19 is still winning, which is the title. And we just want to share some things, get some clarity, some understanding, but we want you to share it as well. Press 1 once you call in, and then I'll identify the last 4 digits of your cell or telephone number that actually give you location and offer your expertise. What we want to kind of take our next step.
Dr. Smith, before you move further on the agenda, let me say this, and I know we press the time, so we pre-discussed this along the way. The item that you had on the agenda about mental health of student athletes, let me just say this to our listeners.
Yes.
Kudos go to the National Federation of High Schools and the Medical Advisory that has made it mandatory for our high school coaches to take that course in preparation of these issues. So I think everybody needs to know that at the level of high school, they are interacting, and thanks to Dr. James Robinson, which is the head trainer of the University of Alabama, for being able to interject those things back at the hour level for preparation for student athletes going to the next level. So there are things in courses, so parents will understand that the coaches are aware because it's a mandatory coach for mental illness for student athletes. Mental health, I'm sorry, not illness. I just want to throw it out that you can continue, Dr. Smith. Thank you so very much.
Hey, yeah, we had that as one of the topics for discussion tonight about mental health of student athletes and the way, you know, sometimes we forget about the high school athlete and even the middle school athlete and the parents, because everybody are involved, especially at this time we're dealing with stress, anxiety, fear because of COVID-19. And the mental health is something we have to be able to work with, provide the right service to help those young people, help the parents, as well as the coaches. And it's sometimes, and a lot of time it goes through the coaches, because the coaches, if you don't give them the right training, it's hard for them to expand and expand with the young people they're dealing with every day. That's just like the heat exhaustion they have to go through the workshop. We know we have to go through that. And we have to go through first aid. We have to do CPR. We have to go through AED. We have to go through get the training. And the methodology and the materials dealing with coaching, these training these individuals have to go through before they can be issued a card to say they are a member of the Alabama High School Athletic Association, the coaching division, as well as administrative division. So the mental health of our young people are so important, as well as our college players as well as all of us. All of our mental health is important. On Monday night, we always talk about that and you can join us on Monday night when we talk on Talking Real to You at 7:30. We talk about mental health, talk about with children, family, adults, and how, during this time, we all are stressed out, and we need to be able to find avenues and resources to help ourselves and talk to individuals. And we're going to post something. If you know of any situation where people are struggling with some things, we're going to have numbers. You can give a call, or they can give a call, because sometimes we don't want nobody to know that we're going through some things. And sometimes the worst thing is to hide that you're going through it, because you will be too fearful of addressing it. And we have to make sure we do that even with our young people, especially our athletes, because the young people, besides that, even by going back to school, you're not able to go back to school. That was your mean for socialization. And you're at home. You're stuck at home. We stuck at home. A lot is going on. People are picking up habits they probably didn't have for drinking, picking up habits, you know, other things that goes on they should be doing. Some of the things come out, so mental health is so important for our student athletes. In actuality, for all our children, all our adults, all our American citizens, student mental health is so important. Coach Stallworth, I want to definitely hit on this dealing with the high school and a storyline in regards to, first, I want to address the situation about these schools and when it was placed in their hands in these LEAs to kind of put some guidelines in place because of COVID-19, because we have sports going on, and there was some situation in certain parts of the state
of Alabama, I can say, because we had started playing already, people was not following those things like wearing a mask, social distance, those things at the game. And there, I know there was a communication came out on the 21st, and it was an urgent communication from the High School Athletic Association, Coach Savarese, C. Savarese. I just wanted to kind of share some thoughts, kind of, you know, what to do with COVID-19 cases was the title of that article. But we just want to kind of address how everybody is not really are tempting but not successful in dealing with this when they have games and what they need to do.
Yes, I'm on, Dr. Smith.
Yeah, you're on.
Okay, Dr. Smith, I think what you have to understand is, first of all, venue in the state of Alabama, capacitation does not serve the same. A football game in South Alabama is just like a big parade in a small town. It brings people together. When you start bringing people together, you're talking about a high degree of socialization. The biggest part about trying to do the separatism and do the best practice in the biggest is the fact that who knows who's related to who. There's so many areas in social distance that you have to regulate that you can't account for because you don't have the manpower. I don't care what you say and what you do. You don't take anybody's money and just tell them what they can and what they cannot do to a high degree. You have to be cordial. You have to hope that this whole situation by being outside in a venue does not. So remember now, we're talking about mitigating. We're not talking about eliminating. And that's what we're trying to mitigate. We don't want to expand what's already out there because we don't have the answer for that. So I hope people will look at the Alabama High School legislation and everybody that's trying to put things in practice as not being the solution. They're trying to make sure that we have some social events with some regard and some consideration and put some practice in places with a sense of understanding. But it's hard because the competitive venue that you get into and you start getting involved in the event somewhere down the line, because I went to one the other night and I taught myself several times, didn't want to deal with the mask, and I was away from everybody. And I started saying to myself, you know what? It's hard to be a prime example of something in a situation of this nature because it is, in the ordinary fashion, it is a moment that we come together and have a good time in a competitive venue. We just let everything go. And another thing, I hate to say it, it's Friday night. Friday night at home, Friday night everywhere means what? A time to let things go. And it's just hard. And all those practices are doing is to try to meet the timeline of hurry up, let's get something in here, but let us slow things down and not increase what we already have because we really don't have the real answer. So I just hope that our listeners will help us on this show give a sense of understanding that we don't want to lose the thing that we have by not adhering to the small practices that are out there. These are our children. This is our game that we love. I believe crime will rise if it ain't Friday Night Football. I really do. I believe discipline in school. I believe attendance will be different. So it's one of those situations where we have to pause and think it out and say we ain't the only one. Everybody has to adhere so everybody can appreciate the game we love the most. And what's the most important for our students, athletes, because we played the game. We've had our fun. But it's something that if you take away from them, they don't understand that. So we have to, as fans, understand and listen. We got to adhere to our responsibilities so they can appreciate what's granted to them. We've had our time. That's my take on it, Dr. Smith.
And that's one thing I want to really focus on. It's responsibility. We already said this show will be hashtag responsible. And I think even though we don't want to take away, they have to really help. And it can't be all on the responsibility of someone at the top. But if you take the responsibility as a local venue, as a local district, then we have to because the consequences could be a little bit bigger than we can handle. So I think, and I'm hearing, and we want you to continue to enjoy and have fun, but also take on the responsibility of I have to follow something to keep us continuing doing this. And as I read the memo that comes from the high school athletic executive director of Alabama High School Athletic Association, that's all he's asking you to do. You got to play your part because it started off because of some inconsistency across the state. It's going to be some inconsistency, but you still have to follow those so-called basic guidelines of life, those one about safety. You got two, and I think that's where we kind of getting away from, and I think that's what kind of happened this past weekend, the start of the season. We're excited. Yeah, we need it, but you still have to if you want to continue to do what you're supposed to do and follow the process of contact tracing. If you've been in, you broke down to 6 feet and you turn it to shoulder to shoulder, these kind of things we have to. And I really think people will be able to adjust to it because they want to keep that. They want to keep being able to do it. And I think it's just my reading some of the things that need to be done, and it's going to take everybody. It's not going to be put on the association at the top. It's not going to be just put on the superintendent, the board. It got to be those individuals who's serving in the capacity that's going to be at the game to kind of make whatever adjustment they can make. And like Coach Stallworth said from the beginning, some of this stuff started out when people say everybody was family. You know, some folks, now some people I saw nationally was like they're in a student section. And those kind of things, we got the end to get to where we need to be. We're going to have to go through this because we're in the early stages, because we don't even understand some of the things that were happening. And it was a need to put a memo out to let people know that, you know, you stepping close up to University of Alabama. And also Auburn, you know, they had to close. The University of Alabama had the strip was closed 14 days because when you give them an opportunity to step out, they didn't realize that even though you're first time, but you still there are some things that you have to follow. And I think they stepped away. Now they realize that you're gonna have to be important that you follow some of those guidelines if you want to continue to be on this campus. If you want to continue to go to the game, we've got to follow the guidelines and do our best. Everybody has to hold themselves responsible. I won't say accountable, responsible. And that's where I kind of see that in regards to. And the last thing I want to touch on in regards to high school, there was a lot of chatter about a rival game, a game that's going to be played on Friday night, which is going to be played on Friday night. And there was a player that tested positive. And there was a lot of talk because the word had gotten out that the game would be canceled, either postponed. Is that a concern you're hearing as you run around, you be around coaches and stuff? Is that a concern because of how we're going to deal with the protocol, dealing with the positive tests and all that in the high school level? Because we was really told by the expert that you don't look for that to happen to those age of kids, and truly, we're finding out this mutation, this COVID-19, is not a certain group it's just going to stick to. It's working around. Just your thoughts with a couple minutes on that. We'll get ready to kind of get out here, Coach.
I think, Dr. Smith, as you continue to follow the medical advisories, if you notice, They use that data, and they continue to do research. And I like the fact that they have changed the way they are looking at the quarantine of people that may have been somewhere near a person that has been tested positive or had symptoms of it. Because what you have to be mindful of is sometimes that football don't affect everybody the same way. And when you start making universal decisions about taking a certain number of student-athletes out of a program because you don't know exactly what it's – and I can understand that because I'm telling you something now. It's like John Dewey said, great philosopher, learning is a doing process. And every time something happens, what we churches do, look back and go back and say, look, you know what? We may have been wrong there. Let's go back and look at this another way. So it behooves everybody to stay in cahoots to everyday data so you can get a degree of understanding. And, I mean, it's no matter, it don't make no sense to be over the top in alarm and say, yes, it can happen. I'm sitting here with a friend of mine now. We both could have it. But we may have strong enough immune systems to allow us to surpass it to a certain extent, and we may live through it. I mean, that's just the way you have to look at it. And I think the medical advisors, I think research, I think scientists, even to the top down, are doing a good job of staying on top of the data that they are getting after these events and then making amends in the policy and the day-by-day best practices. But the only way that you're going to understand it, you got to stay on top of it. You got to educate yourself by, you got to read. And I'm one of the worst because I like pictures, I like movement, I like motion. But I've learned, that's one thing, the pandemic, and I said it in my church last Sunday, the pandemic then caused me to read with understanding, not read with, I call it picture Oreo, trying to relate the picture to what I'm reading and I'm through with it. I mean, I got a bad habit of that. And my social media has expanded thanks to my great friend Andre Park. And I find it's a new society, Dr. Smith.
Right.
You got to get on board. If you don't get on board, then you're going to misconceive yourself, and you're going to be behind. How are you going to protect yourself against anything? How can you relate things to your children if you lack of knowledge or lack of communication what society has to bring out? Nobody is going to put nothing in place to destroy not only you but themselves. It's called trial and error. We're dealing with something that you can't see.
Yes, sir.
I give all the researchers, I give everybody that's on top of this thing 100% confidence because that's what they do. They know, you know. And I think we're going to be okay. It's just a matter of dealing with, I hate to use a gambling term, whatever hand you got to play it. But that's what time is, Doc. We all got to play the same hand. But if you're going to play the same hand, play it by the same rules. Play it by the same precautions. Play it by the same practice. If that's the case, it keeps everything flowing instead of going backwards. Because I'm going to tell you something now. If these so-called fans, all of our fans, don't adhere, they're going to cause kids, not only kids to lose an opportunity to play, they're going to cause schools to close back again. And you don't want that. Because education, first of all, this is the business of education anyway. It's called education athlete. The student athlete, that's all come first. So that's something that we all need to be mind. We all love the game. But the game we playing now, we all got to make sure we play that by the rules as well. And that's off the field. That's the wrong. You don't play by them best practices now. There could be some consequences. Everybody suffers.
Coach said a mouthful. He said the game we playing off the field is a lot dangerous than the game we playing on the field.
Yeah,
and we have to game right on the field as well as off the field. And that's what we do. We talk about life, being responsible, and that's what Talking Sports Plus is all about. We appreciate all of you all joining us tonight. We had quite a few, and I'd like to give a shout-out, Brother Stalwart, before we move forth and close this thing out tonight. It's been an awesome show. You know, we went over a few minutes. I want to give these individuals a shout-out that's joining us on Facebook. I want to give a shout-out to, as I said earlier, Rachel Robinson, member of Zeta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated out of the state of Florida.
My sister.
Yes, sir. Denise Stephanie out of Berkeley, California, Behind the Mask Ministry. And we appreciate this young lady joining us, Latte Pickett. Her ministry is Inspire to Inspire. So we appreciate Latte. It's Beva Paul Wright. Thank you so much for joining us as well. We have my nephew, Reginald Roof, Deacon Roof, thank you so much for joining us. We have the Mock of Weed, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, and the chief of police in Moss, Alabama. So he's been appointed that about a couple months ago. We said congratulations. We have Keith Sigma, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, works out in Lowndes County. We have one of my former players, Tommy Bush, out of McKinney. Thank you, Tommy, for joining us. I coached back there a long time ago, and Tommy was one of the players in the 80s. Thank you so much, Tommy Bush. Erica Butler, for me, over as I was a principal over in Bullock County, and she's now working still in education, making a difference at the highest level. We thank you. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority. Dana Bowser, she's the author of the Zuma by Mama Sita. And she's out of Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, member of Beta Phi Beta Sorority Incorporated. We also have Chris Butler, a member of Gamma Beta Chapter. He's now a grad brother and everything. He's in a grad chapter, but he came through Alabama State University. Good to have you, Chris, checking us out tonight. And he's a member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity Incorporated. We had an awesome show tonight, and I appreciate everybody joining us. You can check us out on Monday. We'll be talking with you at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Talk some more about dealing with COVID-19. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir,
Coach. Please give a shout out to my great friend and son, DeAndre Parks, which came in, and I had him to do a call in, but he said since the information and everything was so relevant and so formative that he just wanted to listen. So I want to give a shout out to, and he's the head basketball coach now at Brantley High School. DeAndre
Parks. All right, then. Congratulations, Coach Park, Dre. Congratulations, Dre, and I'm going to call you Dre because I know about Dre. So it's good. Congratulations to you. Thank you so much for being a part of this, man. I tell you, man, it's awesome. Hey, go out and make things happen. Make it do what it do. That's what this is all about on Talking Sports Plus.
That's right.
Awesome, awesome, man. I tell you, so, Coach Starwood, if you want to get in your last-minute shouts, your goodbye shout, good people, and we're going to close it out, and we'll just get ready to make this thing do what it needs to do next week, next Wednesday.
Before I close out, I want to say this right quick. I heard you, Dr. Smith, talking about somebody was making a statement about Black Lives Matter and why isn't black killing other blacks a concern. I got caught in that conversation the other night, and I got some very, very good information. I don't have time to share it, but one thing I can say that made me listen is, when we live inside of our zone when it comes to poverty, sometimes we react to that and react to that only. That's something to think about. I don't think that's the total answer, but that is something to really, really look at. Because when you in something, you act that way. And sometimes we get caught in that. But saying all that, Dr. Smith, that's a title for another night. I want to say
this.
As always, to all of our listeners, thanks so very much for being involved in listening to Talk Sports Plus with the two of us tonight. And as I always say, do have a nice day. You take the day, and don't let the day take you.
Awesome. Coach, you couldn't say it better. And we thank you so much for joining us tonight. We look forward to having some more fruitful information for you on next Wednesday night dealing with Talking Sports Plus. It's been awesome. Now, hashtag keep on grinding. Hashtag communicate for understanding. And that hashtag is so important. Hashtag a responsible. And last but not least, one life matter. And we have to make sure we keep that in mind. We're dealing with COVID-19. We're dealing with a lot of things. Let's put ourselves in a position to say one life matter. And we have to grind and make sure we continue to keep everyone here on this earth as long as we can until God calls each and every one of us to transition to go home. It's been awesome tonight, and as I close out all the time, I always try to make sure everybody understands, you know, I'm truly thankful because God gave us an opportunity to get this show and get this network into existence. We're heard in 18 countries. So we're so glad to be heard in 18 countries. You know, I was talking to somebody that texted me the other day, and it was over in Ghana, and they were saying, We catch your show every now and then. I said, thank you so much, because they had a funny name. I said, what is your real name? And they say Elizabeth. So it's so amazing where we're touching. We're so glad to have the opportunity. I thank each and every one of our co-hosts when they join us and our experts on each of our shows. And I say all of our shows, because we have many shows that's sponsored by the Smith Way Production Company under the umbrella of the Smith Way Enterprise. Again, it's been awesome, and as we close out, you know, I'm going to reach back. This song is from way back. We don't own the rights to this music.
but we want to understand we're in this together. You know, we're one. We are one. So we want to make sure you understand. But I want you to do one thing. Tell your family members, your friends, whoever it may be, tell them you love them. Because I'm going to do the same thing for you. I love you, and there's a thing you can do about it. Have a now, we are one now.